Hello and welcome to One Day You'll Thank Me. I'm Jenny Mortimer and this is the New Zealand Herald's parenting podcast. Each week we'll be unpacking a different issue that affects parents and children in modern day New Zealand with a little insight from our own parenting experiences, as well as exploring a wide range of topics with experts and fellow parents from across Aotearoa. This is all so we can help each other and our listeners get through the tough job of parenting. Also that one day our children might just thank us for our efforts. This week, I am joined by a comedian who first appeared on the scene back in 2018. She's appeared on the show Have You Been Paying Attention? 7 Days, Guy Mont's Spelling Bee. She's also a co-host on Paddy Gower Has Issues. And most recently, she was a finalist on Celebrity Treasure Island. Courtney Dawson, welcome.
Kia ora, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for joining us. Now, first of all, we're still in CTI brain.
Yes.
So have you recovered from the roller coaster of the show and also being a finalist?
I think absolutely. As soon as the last episode aired, I was like, done. Because it's such a long process of just like going through this like harrowing, intense experience. 6 months of just trying to like function afterwards, and then like, and then it just all coming back for like a month and a half while it airs. And then as soon as it was finished, I was like, I washed my hands of you. I'm done.
It is a weird time in between, right? Because I was very lucky and I went down and interviewed the contestants, and then coming back and I was like, what a long time to keep a secret like that.
Oh, too long.
Yeah.
Too long. You can't, like, I think it was maybe like a week or two after we had finished, I was like,
all good, time to start going back to work again, and like trying to tell jokes and just being like so disturbed.
And it wasn't until I'd bumped into James and it was like, we were both like shell-shocked.
Yeah.
No disrespect to veterans, but it felt like we had been in the war together. Like,
just
it was
sitting
like,
with your trauma alone.
We're just like shaking in a corner with like a glass of wine, just like, what did we just do? But no, I'm very grateful for the experience. Hashtag grateful. Hashtag bring me back, please, TVNZ. Just kidding.
But do you think being a part of a show like that has changed anything for you or for your career or just like the way you see things now? Like, do you appreciate a bed so much more?
Yeah. I mean, like, I was like big time camping gal anyway. Mm-hmm. So I like that side of things, like, I didn't really care about at all. But it was because I haven't worked a lot in TV before this. So it was like kind of random that I was on there. But so it was a massive learning curve in terms of like, just being on camera like 12 hours a day and like just learning about all that kind of stuff. And then it's so strange. I was talking to past contestants who are comedians and they were like, you know, like not even nothing to do with the money or anything. Like it's a genuinely like a life-changing experience. Just having no distractions and having to like push yourself to do things that you never thought that you would do while also doing all this like conniving scheming in the background. It's just like, it is a really, really crazy experience. And in terms of career, like I think from this point, it's just like my profile has been raised and it's really up to me to sort of like make what I can of it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Know, so we'll see. I don't know. Maybe I'll just go back and work at a shop. Who knows?
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. Anyway. And everyone will be like, that's the girl from CTI.
Exactly.
Now, on the show, you had some really emotional moments. One of them was reading those letters from home. Mm. And you've also said that your son is the person who's had the most impact on your life. Can you talk me through that a bit?
Yeah. Yeah. Getting those letters, it's so funny because like, I think at that point when we got those letters, it was sort of near the end and I was like, it wasn't a food reward. And I was like, bro, I'm hungry. Who cares about the letters?
Did someone from home send me some food? What?
And then when I got the letters, I was like, oh my God. Like, it was actually like, it was so incredible to, it's so strange having your teenage son say some like actually really heartfelt stuff because You know, from being a parent, you just like get into, you're just like in the parenting zone, just like, you know, doing the things, making sure everyone's like, are you alive? Yeah, cool. Okay. Like we're all surviving. And then to have, I guess that letter come through and it, but just to be really, really poignant at a time where you're like starving and mental. Yeah. It was quite emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're so right. Because especially like with boys, like I've been told my son's 4, so he still is like really gives me lots of feedback. And it's great. great. But I've been told having boys is like having somebody really slowly break up with you. Literally. Like they love with you, they couldn't love you more, they couldn't need you more, and then you just lose them to the world. Yeah. Is that what your journey's been like a bit?
It 100% has. Oh, God. Yeah. And it's been so harrowing. Yeah. It's funny. I think like that's the, like, the parenting, like being a mother is like the thing that gives you the most joy and the most anguish. And I would say particularly in the last sort of couple of years, we've sort of been in like a bit of a transition phase, you know, of him growing up and being a teenager and having that breaking up sort of feeling. Because I'm not with his dad. We co-parent. Mm-hmm. We like got together when we were quite young. We had Ari when we were 20. But we've been really blessed to have a really positive co-parenting experience with him. Yeah. And so, like, I think in the beginning I was had a really, really hard stance on that I wanted him to be with me the majority of the time when he was a baby, because I was like, babies need their mums, and, you know, I was still breastfeeding until he was about two and stuff. And, like, our custody agreement has always just been, like, an open dialogue. The way that I sort of said it was, like, you know, like, when he's older, like, then you can have him more. But, like, I really need him to be here now. But now we're here. We've reached a point where he does want to be with, he does want to hang out with his dad more. Yeah, so we, in the past, probably last year and a half, we have been in that transition period where he is staying at his dad's more. And, like, it does feel like a breakup, like, and it's so strange because we're not living. So since the beginning of the year, he's been living the majority of his time with his dad. So we've sort of done like a swap. And like, if I call him and he doesn't answer, you know that feeling when you're in your early 20s or whatever, and your boyfriend's, can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah,
when your boyfriend's fucked off until like 4 o'clock in the morning and you can't get hold of him and you're going mental. Mm-hmm. And it's like, literally when my son doesn't answer the phone when I'm talking, like that feeling pops up in my chest.
Like, what is he doing? Yeah. Maybe he's cheating on me. Maybe he's got another mum.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, you know, it's just like the same like feelings of panic and stuff. So that's definitely taken some like really conscious sort of like work to be like, there's not your boyfriend. Not in a creepy way, but
I get it. Yeah. I'm going to be the mother-in-law from hell. Whoever dates my son, like, I wish you the best of luck. I will be checking in. I will be like running a background check on you. Like, I will check you on the court files through my special media privileges. Like, watch yourself.
Absolutely
get it. Now, talk me through some of those challenges of having a child when you're 20, you know, that a lot of people use the phrase young mum, but I guess, you know, I remember when I was growing up in like the 90s, a young mum was like 15, 16, 20. Yeah. I was like, they're old.
Yeah,
20,
yeah.
She's got it together. So what was that like at 20?
I don't know. I had the same kind of buzz. Like, people would be like, oh my God, you know, like, how are you doing? Are you single mum? You're so young. And it's like, I mean, I'm not. First of all, like the term single mum, it's like I am a mum and I don't have a partner, but like I do not feel like I'm raising my son by myself.
Yeah.
Me and his dad both have like huge extended families, massive family support.
Yeah.
We have a really good relationship, so it's like we're all, you know, together. And then being like a young mum, it's my parents were the same age when they had me. They're still together.
Yeah.
Like me and my son's dad are both like the oldest of five. So we both like already had experience, like essentially like being second parents to our younger siblings. I'd seen my parents do it. It just didn't really seem like a big deal. I think the challenges that came, the hard thing is like when you're like 22 and all your mates are like pissing off to Sydney and London.
Yeah,
and,
I know, right?
You know, and you're just
have fun, send pics.
See you later.
And just like, and I guess being separated from his dad is difficult because then you're just like, you're also going through, well, my experience was that I was also going through all of the like growing pains of being like a young 20-year-old and like dating and just like, you know, you're mental when you're 20.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like doing that and trying to be a mum at the same time, like, you know, I didn't always get the balance right or whatever, but like, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. And like, you know, he's alive. He made it.
They're alive. We're alive. That's such a win. Is there anything that you look back on now that you kind of like wish that you knew, that you wish you could have done differently? I think of those early, you know, couple months of my son's life, and I'm like, it felt like nothing could possibly be harder. And I remember being so stressed and just that heightened level of, I just have to get through this. And I look back now and I'm like, I didn't enjoy it because I felt like it was just something I had to endure through. Is there anything you look back on that you wish you kind of had a different set of eyes at the time?
Yeah, I think like when he was first born, we had like, so he was the first grandchild for both of our parents. So there was like a lot of family involvement and there was a lot of people just like coming over and really involved in any way. Everyone had an opinion on how to do things. And I was just sort of like, yeah, okay. And just sort of like took everything and just like let everyone do what they wanted. But
yeah.
I think now looking back, especially now because I realize he probably will be my only baby. I just think, man, I just really wish that I had just been selfish and just kept that time for myself, because he was such an easy baby and it was such a beautiful time. But yeah, looking back, if I was her, I just told everyone to get lost.
Yeah, I did a couple of times.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I remember it was my mother-in-law. I've talked about on the podcast before, but I do remember just being like, can you get out of my house? Yeah. So don't worry, like it doesn't always work out whatever way you go. If you keep quiet or just shout. So I think every mother has had that feeling of being like, I'm unshowered. I'm really emotionally scarred. I need to put this baby to sleep. Can everyone get out of my house? Exactly. Now with navigating that co-parenting, what is the key, or have you figured out the key to successful co-parenting?
I don't know about other people. I don't know how much advice I can give, but I had the benefit of that we were really young. So, you know, breaking up, you're not breaking up your assets because you were broke. So then there's nothing to sully the waters on that side of things. And I think like when I was talking with my mum and I was saying that we were going to break up and stuff, and I was really upset, she just said, no matter what you do, you just have to make sure you always put Ari first, and you never, ever let anything get past that, I think. And so me and his dad have always tried to make all of our decisions from that standpoint of just putting Ari first and what's, you know, and every now and then both of us, we're going to have to take it out. We're going to have to like bruise our egos. But as long as like Ari is okay, then that's like the main thing. And I think the other thing, that I really struggled with, which I'm sure a lot of people struggle with, is like when your baby's not there, like, yeah, like you get a rest. And I always used to joke about being like, well, it's mean being separated. It's like, you know, I get to be like hardcore mum one week, next week I'm just like, you know, doing whatever I want. But missing out on that time, especially now that he's a teenager and he goes off with his friends and he does sort of, you know, his own thing, missing out on that time is like really gut-wrenching. But I think the way that I sort of always talk to myself about it, particularly when he was little, was just saying that as long as where he goes, he is safe and he is loved, then that's it.
Yeah.
And to not get bogged down in the like, oh, is he like going, because I know when he goes over to Disney, I know he's eating Fanta and chips all day, you know? And that's not my number one choice of what I would want my kids to be eating at that stage. But like, is he safe? Is he loved? Then that's fine. Yeah. There's no point in making a big deal about it. And yeah, I don't know. I'm a pretty chill person anyway. So it was like, although it was challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of it is just like letting go of like your ideals about how exactly you want your kid to grow up. Because like, you're just not going to be able to control it. So
yeah, look, a lot of this is quite harrowing. The idea of, you said before, you're like, he's got his own stuff going on, he does his own thing, and I was just like, what do you mean? what could you possibly mean that his schedule doesn't involve me all the time? This is awful information.
It's so hard.
The idea that he won't want to hang out with me some weekend, what do you mean? I'm unable to process it.
Yeah. And it was like, it was really hard, I think, last year, because it was, you know, he's always been like quite an independent kid. And I think part of that is because he's sort of lived in two different houses. So he gets himself around on the bus and he like makes his own plans and stuff. But like last year was the first time of like really letting that go. And he would just sort of, that's why we came to the decision that he was going to stay at the majority of the time at his dad's house, because he kept just going there.
Yeah.
And I would just be like, and then whenever we were together, he would just be like, I want to go to dad's, or like, I want to go, you know,
yeah,
and like,
yeah.
That was really difficult. So what we had to do was get to a place where I said, we sort of said, look, you can be based mainly at your dad's house, but when you're at my house, like, that's our time.
And yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that we are spending quality time together, because it is, yeah, it is so difficult. And it took a long time and a lot of heartache and a lot of therapy to get through it. But yeah, we're doing okay at the moment. But yeah, it is really difficult letting go of your baby. So good luck to you, man.
I just know I'm going to be awful. Watch me put a tracker on him. Like, I swear. Like, now, I've read in the New Zealand Herald that you said you are at your best when you are destroying Ari in a game of cards.
Yep.
Is that dynamic important to you, that fun, like, battle? Because for me, it is so important that my son sees that, like, I'm strong, I'm badass, I can take you on, and he's 4. So yeah. I imagine that gets, like, heightened.
You must do the same thing as me. I never went easy on that kid when we played cards. I never let that guy win. And we're so, like, we would play teach him how to play last card.
Oh,
and I would just every time smash, smash, smash. Any sort of game, I would never go easy on him. And it, like, paid off. He gets very competitive. There was this one time when I would play cards with him like that. We went around to my mate's house and he's playing cards with, like, you know, 29, 30 year olds, and he's playing, and then someone, like, made a joke and was like, oh, like, Ari, like, you're cheating. And I think he was probably it must have been about 5 or 6, and he just lost it, and he was just, like, crying, and he was like, I want to go home, like, because he was so offended that someone, because I had taught him, you know.
He's like, this is skill.
But yeah, you're right. I think it is. I think, yeah. And that's actually, because we've done that ever since he was little, that's, like, a nice way for us to connect now that he's older. Like, before, you know, even if we've had, like, busy days and we come home, cook dinner, da 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 da, it's like, don't have a couple of game of cards before you go to bed. And then, like, that's, like, a nice way to, like, just start a conversation. Sometimes it can be difficult to, like, get a teenage boy to talk, but yeah.
More harrowing information. Yeah. They don't talk to you, they don't want to hang out with you. We're just going to take a quick ad break and then we'll be back with more from Courtney. Welcome back to One Day You'll Thank Me. Now, Courtney, what does Ari think of your career in stand-up comedy?
Sometimes, like, I think he genuinely does not care. Like, one time I really wanted him, there was a show that I was doing with Janae Henry, Kuruturu Whenua, Leanne, I can't remember Leanne's last name, and Sade, and it was like an all Wahine Māori stand-up gig, and I was like, I really want you to come to this. And he was like, okay. So when he bought his friend, and I'm like in the middle of my set and I look up at him and he's texting on his phone.
Oh,
and
God.
I was like, you're fucking kidding me. And I was to be on that, excuse me, get off your phone, like into the microphone. But then other times he's like, I'm really proud of you. And sometimes he'll, like, watch me on TV. To be honest, I think that he's really happy for me that I'm doing something that I want, that I love.
Yeah.
And when he is in one of his, like, you know, nice phases, he does express that. So he doesn't really care about it in terms of, like, oh, my mum's, like, on TV and famous.
Yeah.
He's just like, sick, mum. Cool. Cool for you, bro.
Just wants to go back to his room. What did he think about CTI? Was he surprised to see how far his mum got? Was he proud?
It was really funny. I think as I was leaving, I was like, I might be away for your birthday. But I was like, but I probably won't. I'll probably get eliminated. And he was like, don't you dare say that. You're going to go straight to the end, mum. Because, like, during lockdown, we all watched CTI and stuff. And I remember, like, such a pipe dream, like, so delusional at the time. But I was like, I want to be on the show.
Yeah.
And, like, CTI can be, like, really big for your career and stuff. But I was like, I want to do those challenges. And Ari was like, yeah, mum, you're going to get on it. You're going to smash all those challenges. You're so competitive. Da, 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 da. So I think he was excited for me, but he was also like, obviously you got on. Obviously you got far. So
that's great, nice. Though. He's clearly got, like, so much faith in mum. He's like, you've got it. Duh.
Yeah, he's a great kid.
Now, does he have the same flair for comedy as you? Can you see him going down the same path as you and your dad? Like, you know, being a funny, hilarious guy?
he's like a funny, goofy guy, but he's quite, I can't see him at this point being like, he's not really like a performer. He's not like, and he doesn't like love drama or whatever. He's just a little bit of a shy boy. So I don't know. I don't really know what he's going to get into, to be honest. I'm just trying to, I think he's still figuring it out. But yeah, God willing, I won't have to face what my dad has faced with me being in comedy, just like my own son roasting me in public on stage with a microphone. Hopefully it ends with me.
I've met your dad. He's very funny.
Yeah, he's all right.
I was with James Mustafik and we were in a cafe and he was like, this is Courtney's dad. And he just like, they immediately started having banter with each other. I was like, this is just fun to observe. Yeah. Like, he's great.
He is great. He is awesome. He is. I'm very lucky to have him. He's a great guy.
Now, thinking about your journey as a parent, what has been the most challenging stage? Is it now?
I would say like the most challenging stage. Oh, God, it's crazy when you think about it. It's like, God, it's all challenging. It's all challenging in different ways. Like, I think when he was sort of between the ages of like 5 and 10, that was really challenging because like, I was in a really challenging time in my life, and I think that like I didn't do the best job parenting at that stage, and so like that was really difficult. Even though like he was such an awesome kid, and then now when I'm like a little bit more stable, and I feel like I'm like, yeah, I can like do this parenting thing. It's like, too late. He already doesn't care about you. But I think. Yeah, having a child young is this really strange experience of growing up together at the same time. And, like, I think, probably over the past year, the difficulties that we've had is a lot of things that have come up from when he was younger and the relationship between us just, like, molding and changing. But like you say, like, that's going to be the same all the way through his entire life. Yeah. So. Yeah, we'll see. As long as I can just like keep him alive until those like glory early 20s days where apparently they come back to you, then it'll be good.
We've all got our fingers crossed. Now, what has been your favourite part about being a parent?
My favourite part about being a parent is...
It's a tricky one. I can't think of anything. I'm trying to think of it. I'm like, for example, and I'm like, wait, no. I don't know if I have one.
Yeah. I think my favorite part about being a parent is, I know what it is. My favorite part about being a parent is like passing on those things from your parents, from my parents that I really love doing to my kid. And it's just like little funny things. Like my mum used to do this thing where she would like put a blanket over me and then pretend that I was a pillow and like lie down on me. And then I'd be like, get off of me. She'd be like, pillow, shush, shush, pillows don't talk. Pillows, oh my God, this pillow is moving around so much. You know, and I would just like laugh. And I can remember like when I was probably about 3 and I was like, oh my God, I can do the pillow thing. You know, and like he loved it so much and just like passing on those little things and like being able to like relive some of the best parts of your childhood with your own child, it's so fun.
Kids love the whole thing of being invisible or like you not being able to spot them. Yeah. Like if Knox is under a blanket and that blanket is like aggressively moving along the carpet, I'm supposed to not know he's there. Like I'm supposed to be genuinely surprised when he pops out of it. They love it. I don't know what it is.
I know, and it will just go and go and go and go and go and go forever. It's so fun.
And you're like, I just cooked dinner. I got a load of washing on and still just like, what? Where is he? This is crazy.
I've just done so much work while my child is invisible.
Now, what have I got to look forward to as my son enters those teenage years?
I think even though it is really challenging, when it is good, it's so sweet. It's such a like little like nugget of like, I did it. Yeah. I did the right thing. I had this moment when, you know, when all that Andrew Tate shit was going popping off, oh my God, I was like, Jesus Christ, I've got to talk to Ari about this because he's like on TikTok and stuff. And so, and because he was living with his dad at the time and like, it was one of those things that I had to let go of, that is like, oh, you know, when he's like raised in my house, it's like very femme vibes, very like gay vibes, very like, you know, talking emotional. And then his dad is like, rides a motorbike, does CrossFit. Like, there's absolutely no way that we would be together today. Like, I love that man, but it's just insane that we were ever together. And he's like very like, you know, he's like a tradie and shit. And so I was like, oh my God, like, what if my son has been corrupted by the internet? And so I was like to him casually, like, oh, so have you ever heard of this guy, Andrew Tate? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, and what do you think about him? And he was like, oh, I mean, I guess I get some of the things he says about hustling, but he says some real whack stuff about women. Like, it's like an absolute egg. And I was like, yes.
Like, I did it. I raised a good human. Yeah.
And that's just like such a beautiful thing, because like, as much as you want to like, you know, be over the shoulder all the time, like, actually the best thing that I found that I can do is just like do what I can, just trust that it's all going to work out. Yeah. And God and bless me.
Hopefully it does.
Hope it works. We'll see.
Now, Courtney, this podcast is called One Day You'll Thank Me. It's because it's things we hope our kids will thank us for one day. Mm. Is there something that you think Ari might look back on and thank you for?
I hope that he thanks me for showing him what it looks like to pursue something at a later stage in your life. Not that I'm like super old, you know, I'm 34, but like, I hope that he thanks me for, how do I articulate it? I hope that he thanks me for setting an example of showing him that no matter what you want to do, like at any stage in your life, like you can do it.
Yeah.
And because I really hope that that's what he does for himself going forward, because I definitely did feel some like guilt about, you know, I don't know, doing comedy and going from like a job where you're like making money to being like, hey, maybe we just like won't have any money anymore. It's like, I did feel a bit of guilt about that, but I hope that I show him that taking a risk and doing things that you love, like it will pay off and eventually.
I love that. Yeah. I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for terrifying me about those next years. But I'm also looking forward to the fun bits, too.
Yeah,
like, and they'll come back to us. It's fine. It's going to be fine.
Exactly. Good luck to you.
Thank you. Now, Courtney, just quickly before you go, what do you have coming up next, and where can people see you, find you, listen to you?
I think TV-wise, things are starting to run down. But if you want to go on demand and watch things, I'm on Patty Gower Has Issues and all that. In terms of like live shows, I'm going to be gigging a lot before the Comedy Fest next year. So please follow me on my Instagram at C Dorsox. And I always post up there when I'm doing live shows. Like that's the mahi that I love the most. So if you can ever make it to a live show, please come.
Amazing. Yes, definitely go. She's great. She's funny and she's a badass mum. So you need to go see her and support her. Thank you so much, Courtney.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to this episode of One Day You'll Thank Me. Follow us on iHeartRadio or wherever you get your podcasts. For more parenting news, advice and columns, head over to nzherald.co.nz/lifestyle. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, you can at odytm@nzme.co.nz. Thanks to our producer Ethan and to Courtney for joining me today. Join me next week to see if I've installed a tracking device on Knox. We'll see you then.